It's the 31st of January. We're going to start our second presentation. This is so exciting! This is one of my favorite things. I get excited. Tell your friends and family that there is plenty of room, free beer tomorrow. Tomorrow. Not today. Free beer tomorrow. And we're going to learn how to become filthy rich. Do you believe me? No? Okay, well, hopefully I will persuade you otherwise. Now, as you go around, as you pass these around, take one of each color, A, B, C, and D. Okay? So take one. Yeah. Well, you know what? Why don't you split them up? Somebody put them all together. I had them in two files, but somebody split them up. So take one of each, okay? And pass them around. Now, we're going to do goal setting and then the time value of money. But before we do anything else, what's going on this weekend? The Stupid Bowl, right? And so in your packet, I forget what page it is. I'll tell you in a second. I think it's the very last. It's page number 10. No. It's page number 11. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. Is an extra credit assignment that's associated actually with chapter 6. Consumerism. It's about football. How much time do you spend watching the average football game? How much is a football? Come on. You can. Well said. Well said, Laura. All right. Yeah. How much? 3 hours? 2 hours? No, it takes about 3.5 hours sometimes, more, right? How much time is spent playing the game? How much time?
Maybe an hour.
Oh, 2 minutes is a little low. But people say an hour. Hours on the clock, right? That's not how long they play. What?
They play 2 hours.
No. Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. You can make it into a game. You can make it into a competition because you're going to watch. You're all going to watch the Stupid Bowl this weekend, right?
No.
Laura's not. I'm not. But some people. And so, yeah, you get 2 points. You'll get 2 points. But here's if you take it. It's extra credit. You don't have to do it. Get a stopwatch. Have you ever seen a stopwatch? Now you can get a stopwatch crap. I'm sorry. Slap. App. You get a stopwatch app on your smartphone. And every time they kick the ball or snap the ball, yes.
So you're saying like in between plays or like?
I'm talking about the time they're running around and hitting each other. And
maybe an hour.
That's what you think. You think it's an hour.
Like
but every, what? Well, we'll see. You're going to do an investigation. You're going to see. And so what you do is you start the crap app, and then as soon as they go out of bounds or get tackled or pass incompletion or whatever, stop the app and time how long they actually run around on the field. Is that cool?
Is that going by when they stop the clock or when, like, sometimes
no, I'm talking about the play, when the play ends.
And they're getting ready for the next play?
Exactly. So when the play, no, not when they're getting ready for the next play.
Okay.
I'm talking about from when they snap the ball to the person is downed or is tackled or pass incompletion or goes out of bounds. Are you with me?
Only actual play.
Only actual play. Cool. Is that good?
And you get
25
minutes.
Okay, write down. It says, put down your guess.
Okay.
What would your guess is? Make it into a competition between the peanuts and beer and potato chips. Okay, now. All right, so before we get started, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Okay, well, I got a bad joke. Did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar?
Yeah.
Okay, how about the bear? See, I didn't tell you about the bear. So this bear walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? No? Okay. A bear walks into a bar. He goes right up to the bar, and he puts his big, long paws on the bar. He looks the bartender straight in the eye. He says, I'd like a beer. And the bartender says, why the long paws? Didn't I warn you? I did warn you, didn't I? So bring good jokes on Tuesday because they get worse. Wait till you hear about the mushroom. Okay, so now, goal setting. Oops, wrong screen. Goal setting. When you study highly effective people, successful. You know, some are famous. The ABCs going around? Are the ABCs going around? Okay, pass them around, please. Because we need them soon. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sneak in here. I apologize. It's going too slowly. I'm going to take half of these. And then see, one of the guys in the other class, he put them all together. He was being efficient, but we don't want that. We don't want efficiency in this case. Okay. When you study highly effective people, successful, some are famous, some are not, especially in your field, which may not be, you know, the most sexy field where you do certain things about fixing cars or whatever, but this person is awesome. What you will almost to a person find is that they are goal-oriented. They have a vision. They have a dream. And that's important. It's important to dream. It's important to have a vision. But then they work to make that dream reality. Right? And so we are going to learn how to write effective, well-written goals that should help us make our dreams, the things that we want, accomplished. And so the types of financial goals include those that are financial goals. And we'll do one non-financial goal too. The time frame, very important is the time frame. We need to know the time frame in which we are discussing, and we'll take a look at that on the next slide in detail. But here, look at this. This is all italics. Very important. When you see italics, it's probably going to be on the exam, right? Realistic. Be stated in specific, measurable terms. Have a time frame. Have a priority. And most importantly, indicate the actions or action that you're going to take. Can you see this, sir? Can you see that? Can you see it? Okay, good. Okay? So, here's the timing. These are the books, and you'll hear people say this in the financial industry. I tend to disagree with them. But they look at short-term as up to a year or so, whatever that means, right? Intermediate term is anywhere from 2 to 5 years. And long-term is 5 years or greater, greater than 5 years. Now, I tend to take a little longer time frame. I guess you get older, your time seems to stretch, right? I look at short term as 1, 2, maybe even up to 3 years, depending on the goal. There's a seat over here, right over here. And intermediate term, 3 to 5, even 6 or 7 years. And then for me, long term is 7, 10, 30 years. These are more along the line with the life insurance industry. This is more the financial industry. Of course, if you're in accounting, they only have two. They have short-term and then long-term. Right? Anything 1 year, they call it current. Are you with any accounting students in here? Yeah, right? 1 year is called current, and then anything above 1 year is long-term. That's a different world. Okay, this is the financial world. So we look at short-term, intermediate-term, and long-term. So whichever ones you use, you can make your own, but we're going to basically follow the book and the industries. So here's a goal. Here's the goal. Pay off the squeegee. I'm sorry. What's it called? The Visa. Pay off the Visa. Balance, $3,500. How did we get $3,500 on that darn squeegee of the Visa? Well, there was the trip to Cancun. Oh, boy, did she turn out. She turned out to be a witch, right? Amazon Prime, at 2 a.m. in the morning, you have to buy those snake knives. You need those things. And the ice crusher, right? And then the books. Oh, my goodness. And the car had a baby, and her sister needed a news transmission. And so is it easy to get $3,500 on a credit card? Is it easy to get it off?
No. If you are using
responsible.
Credit cards every month.
Pay them off every month?
No interest.
Communist. Yeah, you're not a good American consumer, Laura. We're going to report you to the American Federation of Consumers. Yes, no, it's not easy. And that's why the credit card companies make it so easy for you to charge things and make it difficult for you to get it off. But they want you to pay the minimum payment every month. Wait till we get to this. So what are we going to do here? We're going to reduce dating and clubbing to twice a month. Oh, my God. That means we're going to stay home on a Saturday night like Trivial Pursuit. Cancel the cable service and the mobile phone. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not going to cancel your mobile. Can you find a cheaper plan? No, I'm locked in for 3 years. Stop buying coffee at $5. I'm sorry, $4. Starbucks, right. And then pay an extra $300 a month. So which time frame is this? 12 months? Everyone say short term. Wait till I ask you, what time frame is this?
Short term.
You got to go stick with me. Talk, it helps you go faster. And how would we measure the success of the goal? Yeah, did you pay it off within 12 months? Is the goal reasonable? I don't know. None of you young folks are going to cancel your mobile phone. It's like stealing your air. I said to myself, okay, what if we gave everybody a choice now? You can either have your mobile phone or your clothes. Which would you take? Don't worry, there'll be a whole lot of naked people walking around. You won't be alone. Yeah. Is the goal reasonable?
It depends on how much money they have coming in every month.
Exactly. What's reasonable? You and Laura have a little fun here. Laura's having all the fun. What's reasonable is what's reasonable for you. I don't know. Some people might say, are you out of your mind? An extra $300 a month? There's no way. Other people say, yeah, I could do it. I go to the club every week, plunk down $100. I could get an extra $300. So what's reasonable is what's reasonable for you. So I won't know that. And so maybe it's reasonable. You try it. If it doesn't work. What's another one? Save up for a home theater system. Amount needed, $2,000. Wait, can you get a home theater system for $2,000? Yeah, electronics have come way down. Now, is it going to be state-of-the-art? No, but it'll be pretty darn good. Time frame, 12 months, short-term, intermediate-term, long-term? Short-term. Actions to be taken, take a part-time job at Home Cheapo and put $150 per month into a special savings account at the bank. Priority medium. Cool? Is that a well-written goal? Do we know where we're going to go? How we're going to get there? Is it reasonable? If you got the time, yeah. Now, what would most people do? Would they make a goal like this and wait 1 year to get that home theater system?
No.
What would they do? Yeah, so they can stick their needle in there, start sucking out your blood, and it's interest-free for 12 months, unless... You don't pay it all off, and then they go back to the very first day and charge you interest for the entire year.
No.
Oh yes, way. Read the. Did you read the fine print?
I didn't have to because I pay off my credit cards every month.
Goody goody for you. But did you read the fine print? No. Is the judge going to ask if you read the fine print when they haul you off the bankruptcy court? No. The judge is going to ask you, did you sign the damn thing or did you click here? You with me? It's a contract. Have you taken Business 140? You will, or you do. You did not read it. That's not their fault. You signed or you clicked or whatever. And so now you have to pay it. All right. Now, how about saving for a down payment on a condominium? $15,000. Is that reasonable? Can you actually get into a condo with $15,000?
Yeah.
Certainly in Arizona or Las Vegas or TJ, but which is where a lot of gringos are moving to. Hey, good, great tacos. That Via Rapida, get your Sentry card. Yeah, how many people have their Sentry card? Oh, these are smart people. And so a lot of Americans are going, oh, God damn, I can't afford rent here. I'll get my Sentry card. There's all those condos now, apartments along the Via Rapida. You don't even have to go to, just go to the Via Rapida in, Via Rapida out. So, no, with $15,000 here in the South Bay, first-time home buyer, good credit, decent job, the real estate people want to talk to you. Now, obviously, more is better. But first-time home buyer, yes, we can get you in. Time frame, 5 years. So what is that? Short-term, intermediate-term, long-term? Yeah, you could pick intermediate or long. I'll be happy with that. It's certainly not short-term unless you're Caltrans. Right? Unless you're some other entity that thinks 5 years, oh my goodness, that's right around the corner. Set up $200 automatic investment per month to be taken from our checking account. Expected rate of return, 7%. Oh, by the way, have you noticed what's going on 805 and H Street? You're starting to see? They're starting to, yeah. It's going to take years before that's finished. But H Street and 805 are going to change. It's one of the worst intersections in the county. Also, the other one of the worst intersections is H Street and the trolley stop. One of the most dangerous intersections in the county. They're working on that one, too. And the cool one is Palomar by the trolley. Palomar is going to go underneath the trolley. Isn't that weird? Palomar's going to go underneath the trolley. It's one of the most dangerous, in the top 10 dangerous intersections in the county. And they're mostly all in Chula Vista. Okay. So, set up $200 automatic investment per month to be taken from our checking account. Expected rate of return 7%. Priority high. So, will $200 per month be enough to reach this goal? We're going to learn how to calculate the future value of this stream of investments today. Students, we will learn today. Okay, now, here's a non-financial goal. We concentrate on finance, obviously, personal financial class, but these affect everything, your career, whatever. So here's, this was me, 20-some-odd years ago. We had this class, it's gone, I wish we had it still. It was one unit, health fitness appraisal class. They did all kinds of blood work, they got you on the treadmill, they had you do pull-ups and wrote down whatever you ate for 3 days. And I was impressed. And they said to me, you know, Piano, you really need to be able to do 15 good push-ups. You know, you're doing great. You ride bikes. It's good for your heart, cardiovascular. But your upper body strength is bad. You can only do 7 good push-ups. So I set a goal for myself. Within 3 months, I'm going to be able to do 15 good push-ups. So short-term, intermediate-term, long-term? Very short-term. Start with 7 push-ups a day. 3 times a day, right? 7 push-ups, 3 times a day, and then increase 2 to 3 push-ups every 3 or 4 weeks, and work to 15 push-ups within 3 months, and I've set a medium priority. Is this goal reasonable?
Yes.
For a vast majority of people, it will be. Now, your situation may be different, so talk to the phys ed people. Oh, no, I'm sorry, exercise science. We don't call it phys ed anymore. And I did it. I succeeded. Yay! And then a few years later, had nothing to do with this, had a shoulder injury. And guess what? Could I do any push-ups? Hell no. So after a few months, I was able to start back up again. And this is life, folks. You're gonna make some of your goals. You're gonna not make some of your goals and have to start all over again, or screw up or something happens and you have to start all over again. But and this is where you just want to cry for people who are in this situation, and you hear them say things like, someday I'm going to learn to play the piano. Or someday I'm going to open up a barber shop or a coffee shop or a shoe shop or whatever. And then 20, 30 years go by. You with me? Understand? So 20, 30 years from now, especially young folks, you're going to be more upset by the things you did not do than the things you did do. Unless you wind yourself up in jail somehow. Are you with me? Okay, so now, here is a question that may look like something on the exam. Which of the following goals would be the easiest to implement and measure its accomplishment? A, spend less so that we can save more each month. B, save $10,000 for a down payment on a condominium. C, save $100 each month to create a $4,000 emergency fund in 40 months by canceling the cable service. Or D, save enough for a $4,000 vacation next year. A, B, C, D. Hold them up. See, at San Diego State, you press the button, and it goes up with how many A's, how many B's, how many C's. So leave them up high. Leave them up high. So lots of A's, several C's. So, A, keep them up. Yes, sir, your name is? No, I'm sorry, next time. With the A. Yes. Josue. Why? Keep them up. You can always change your mind. Why do you say A?
Because every month your money will keep growing.
Right. Any other? Why do you say A?
Because there's not like a set value of how much you need to spend, but so it could be a dollar for your implementation.
And you've done it. Congratulations. Okay, C. Why do you say C?
C, because it's easy to measure that amount that you're saving each month, and it's like consistent as long as you don't go back to it or fill something else.
Right. Any other C's? Another B's or D's? A is what we want to make our goal. It leaves us plenty of room. As you said, your name again is?
Mauricio.
Mauricio. Hey, we saved a buck. Hey, we did it. Are you with me? Understand? This is squishy. It doesn't give you any actions. It doesn't tell you how much you have to do, what time frame. Whereas C, oh, darn it. We got to get $100 into the account every month. We have to cancel the cable service. You see the difference? This is what you're going to want to send me when I ask you to do goals, and this is what I want to see. Because this is a concrete, well-written, effective goal. This goal is far more likely to be a meaningful goal that moves the needle forward in your life. Whereas this is, I saved a little bit this month. Okay, I'm done. Are you with me? You might not agree with me, and that's okay. That's why there's chocolate and vanilla, and some people like strawberry. But this is what we want to see, and we're going to show you several other examples. So stick with us. I'm not trying to demean the people who said A. It's very typical. You're going to see some other examples where people just said, I'm going to say something. Okay, now, what's the financial goal of most all Americans? You don't have to be right.
Buy a house.
Buy a house.
Car.
Car.
Retire.
Retire. Invest. Financially stable, RV, vacation, children, for education for the children. You know, this is what we say is our financial goal, but our actions speak louder than our words. The financial goal of most all Americans is to spend everything that they earn. Right? And then spend some more. Because most Americans live beyond their means. And if you listen carefully, maybe in your household, maybe in somebody else's household, especially when they think you're not listening, this is what you might hear. Honey, can we make it to the next paycheck? Well, we could if you hadn't gone to that day spa with your sister. $350. But you bought those golf clubs and we already had the... What's the biggest reason for divorce in the United States of Armenia? How do we do that? How do we spend more than we know how we do it, right? Why do we do it? Yeah. You know, folks, I have a hard time believing this, but the marketing folks will tell you that you, if you're a typical American, are being bombarded by 10,000 images every day trying to get you to separate every dime you've earned and then some. Do you believe me? Look at one commercial that might throw in 30 seconds 100 images at you. I mean, it's hard to believe, but that's what the marketing folks did. And so, after today, what is your most important financial goal? Right, spend less than you earn. Now, again, there's 10,000 images being bombarded at you. I'm going to give you four. Four thoughts, memes, mantras, sayings, dichos, that you choose whichever one you want because you need protection. You need protection. You can say, I spend less than I earn, or you can say, I live beneath my means. Live beneath your means. Or, I pay myself first. Pay yourself first. 10%. This is the most effective. We'll discuss this one in detail. But I'm a child of the 60s. 1960s. And so my favorite saying is, make love, not loans. Have you heard of make love, not war? You might see make beer, not war, or make art, not war. But this is make love, not loans. And so when you're in that fabulously exclusive French department store, Target. Have you been in Target? Yeah? It's a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. And that person behind the desk says, would you like to put this on your Target? What's it called again? Target, thank you. Target credit card. Because that's not what they do. They want you to open up a card. We put it on your card. No, you're going to say, I spend less than I earn. I live beneath my means. I pay myself first. Or I make love, not loans. This is the one I do. And they look at you. They go, it's a funny. So you ready? Would you like to put this on your Target credit card? No, I spend less than I earn. Let's write again. No, I
spend less than I earn.
No, I. No, I. Or no, you got to join us up. No, I. So which one's your favorite? You get your choice. It's all about choices. But just remember, there's 10,000 images. You're going to need something to fight them. Pay yourself first is the most effective one, folks, because it tells you what you're going to do. By having the money come out of your paycheck or checking account automatically, most individuals easily adjust to investing. You see, it works like a pay raise, only in reverse. You hear people, especially if they've been out in the industry for a while, say, you know, things are okay, I'm doing all right, but if I got that 10% raise or an extra $400 a month, everything would be fine. Wrong. What happens when they get the raise? They go broke at a higher level. Go down to the bankruptcy courts, and you'll see people there in bankruptcy making $200,000 a year. And I sure would like to know how they wound up in bankruptcy making $200,000 a year. It's actually very easy. Spend $250,000 a year. And after a few years, you'll be calling the lawyer asking to go through bankruptcy. Okay? Many financial planners recommend saving at least 10% of your income for long-term compounded growth. And you know, 10% is a great number. It's not always reasonable for everyone. Sometimes it's more than reasonable. Sometimes, especially just starting out, you can start with more than 10%. And nobody said it better, in my humble opinion. Many people said it. But then this gentleman, The Wealthy Barber, you can still get the book at the library. You can still order it, I think, online. The numbers are all wrong because he wrote it in the 1980s. But he said it really, really well. There's lots of other people. Here's another one. And I have a couple of copies that I bought when the I was teaching at the prison, and they don't have a library. They don't have internet. They don't have books. So I would lend it to them, and I got most of them back, actually. So you come, yeah, which is I thought was pretty good because I usually lend them out and they disappear. So if you want to read this book, it's called The Millionaire Next Door. I don't have any. I think I might have one Wealthy Barber left. I'll check it out. But come to my office, and you can check it out. And I'm sure you get it at the library. But this one is even better than this. This one's good, but this one's even better. So let's set the stage. The Wealthy Barber lives in a small Midwestern town, and David Sheldon's jokes are even worse than mine are, which is hard to believe. But he's very wealthy, and everyone believes that he inherited his money, because how can a barber become wealthy, right? He's 60 years old, and he now is semi-retired, but he still works and cuts hair. And while he's doing that, he's also giving financial lessons. So it's a down-home kind of Midwestern, very homespun book. But it's really well done. It's easy to read, it's fast, and it's kind of bad jokes, which I love. But here he's discussing the pay yourself first 10% investment theory. The magic of compound interest. $30 a month, a dollar a day can magically turn into over $1 million. And do you know what is even more impressive? You know someone who has done it, Roy, our barber, said proudly. 35 years ago, he was 25, there's that magic number. You want to get started by about 25. Some of you are past that, but a lot of you are still, you know, wow, it's a long time from now. No, it's not. Okay. I started my savings with $30 a month, approximately 10% of my earnings. I have achieved just under 13% rate of return. Good for him. In addition, as my income rose, my savings rose accordingly. $30 a month became $60, then $100, eventually hundreds of dollars a month. You three are looking at a very wealthy man. One of my early students only followed the pay yourself 10% first lesson. He bought the wrong life insurance, abused credit cards, overpaid for his mortgage, did not take advantage of his 401k at work, and lost all $15,000 of inheritance playing in the commodities market. This is a real upbeat, encouraging story, said Roy, said Tom. Today, his net worth is $850,000, Tom. $300,000 of it is the equity in this house, but the rest is his 10% savings. He did everything else wrong, but Kathy started, because he had saved 10% of each paycheck, invested it for long-term compounded growth. Today he is in great shape, Roy finished. You see? You can make several mistakes, but if you do a few things right, specifically what we're going to learn about today, you should do well. You should do well, excuse me. Unless the world ends, in which case it doesn't matter. Okay, so the book will, and how many people bought the book? Anybody bought the book? Okay, the book, and you'll see this also in your economics class or some other place. Excuse me, the rule of 72. It's a quick and dirty method for calculating compound interest, compound inflation. You divide the interest or the inflation rate into 72, and that is approximately how long it will take the amount to double. So let's say you're getting 10% interest. 72 divided by 10, it's about 7 years. It'll take about 7 years for your investment to double. If inflation is running at 3%, which it isn't right now, but it has been over the last, you know, since the early 80s, since the late 70s, then it'll take 24 years for your prices to double. So if you're into cars, go back 24 years, and you'll see that cars cost about half 24 years ago, a little bit more, than what they do now. So check it out. Go back and take a look. Assuming this, you've got to compare like to like cars. You'll see that cars have basically doubled over the last 24 years. And that's how it works. But we're going to be far more precise. We're going to learn how to do simple interest when we get to credit. And today we're going to learn how to do compound interest. Because the calculations are really not that hard. In fact, they're pretty darn simple. That's why they call it simple interest. Have you learned this one yet? Principal times rate times time. Yeah, so you say you have $100 and you get 6%. After 1 year, 100 times 6%, 0.06, times 1 year is $6. So after 1 year, you have $106. But the next year, assuming you don't take any money out, put any more money in, you're not only going to earn interest on your principal, but you'll also earn interest on your interest. So $106 times 6% times 1 year is $6.36, and after 2 years, you will have a whopping $112.36. And I know what you're thinking. Big deal, right? Big. It is. It is over time. What we're going to learn today is how to go from the present, the amount now, compounding into the future. We'll show you the formula, but we don't do it in this class. The book does it, but you don't need it in this class. In the next class, in the Business 123 class, we learn how to go from the future back to the present. That sounds scary. It's really not that hard. It's harder to understand than it is to do. It's actually very easy to do. But this is what we're going to do. There it is. So the future value of money is the amount to which a sum you invest now will increase based on a specified interest rate and time period. As we said, it's also called compounding. It can be computed for a single amount, a lump sum, which is also called a principal, that one, prowl, or a single payment. They all mean the same thing. Okay, and that's important to make the distinction. Or it can be done for a series of deposits, right? Or I like the term stream. I like the term stream. Think of it as a river, because rivers get bigger as they go on. Stream of investments. You'll also hear people say an annuity. I don't like to use it. It's true. An annuity is just a stream of payments. But it's also a life insurance product. So people get confused between the life insurance product. So I don't like to use annuity. But you can also say multiple payments. That's one way to think of it. And this is going to be the hardest part of the calculations, determining whether it's a lump sum or is it a stream of investments. And that's, you do it a few times, it's actually pretty darn straightforward. And the idea is to start investing now. Start young. Now I know you're 18, 19, you're still in college, you've got plenty of expenses, you don't have enough money. You don't have to do it now, right? You don't have to do it now. But think about it, because by that magic age of 25, once you've left college and gone into the world of work and trading your life for your paycheck and your paycheck for the rent and the orthodontist and the veterinarian bills and all the other stuff, you're going to want to start paying yourself first. So here's the formula. Now, don't worry about the math. Remember I told you all you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide, right? Did you bring your calculators? Your 99-cent calculators? No, I know you didn't. Okay, so today use your smell phones, but turn it on vibrate. Okay, we don't want any smell phones going off. See, the phones, I've been around for a long time. But remember the little sleeve phones, the flip phones, when they were real popular? When it would go off in class, I'd grab it and go, and then give it back to the person. And then people turn their smell phones off. So they're too big now. You can't put them in your mouth anymore. So look. What is that called? When you put a number way up in the air, what's that called? An exponent. And what does exponential growth look like? It starts off slowly and then, wee, up in the air, right? What's the exponent? Time. Everyone say time. Wait till I ask you. What's the exponent?
Time.
Time is your friend. When you're younger, time is on your side. Time is your ally. When you get old like me, time becomes your enemy. All right? And so here are the two formulas. And if you are so inclined, and often it says not so much in the face-to-face class, but in the online classes, you will have one or two students who use the exponential format. Fine. If you're a math major or whatever, it's not that hard to do. You'll get a different number because that's more precise than what we're going to do, but it'll be very, very close. Okay, now, present value is the exact opposite. Again, you'll see it on this study guide, but it'll say, don't worry, we're not going to use present value, so you don't have to study it. But it's the exact opposite. It's called discounting, and not the discounting that happens at Target when they lower the price. No, it is taking the value in the future and bringing it back to the present. But it's just the opposite. So the graph looks like this. We can do it again for a lump sum or a series of withdrawals, and it is used extensively in the next class. So those of you who are in the class, that's actually before this class, and there's still room, by the way, we're going to use present values later on. But notice that the formulas are basically the opposite. Whereas time, the exponent was up in the top, it's now in the bottom, right? And what happens when the denominator gets large? The value shrinks, right? So it's just a mirror image. But don't drop the class. Don't run for the exits. We don't do these calculations. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the calculations. We're not going to use the exponential. If you want to, go right ahead. If you have a scientific calculator, but we're going to use the tables. So on pages 7. not 7. Where is it? 5. Page 5. And so what you're going to... Oh, you need one? I'm sorry. You're going to be flipping back between 5 and 6. Page 5 and 6. Do you have one?
Yeah.
Those are the practice ones. We're going to do this one. Yeah, this one right here. Page 5. Do you have one? Okay. Remember, we're poor here at Southwestern, so I give you one of these. Please remember to bring it. I got 3-ring binders. Come to my office. I get so lonely. No one comes to my office hours. Come to my office hours. We'll tell bad jokes and give you a 3-ring binder. Okay, so are you ready? You excited?
Yes.
Okay, got your calculator? Got your calculator? Okay, share it with people. Okay, so number one. Who will read number one? Who will read number one? Yes, sir. Your name again is?
Anthony.
Anthony, number one. Okay, so who is this?
Isabel
ringing? Anybody just out of high school? Yeah? Isn't it cool? No bells? No bells. Isn't that great? I love it. I love it. I go on a high school campus and doing this, doing presentation for our financial services, trying to, get people interested in Southwestern. And a bell goes off and I... Okay, so she just gave you 10 grand. What are you going to do with it?
Save it.
That's the right answer. Someone's about ready to say spend it, right? Somebody's about ready to say spend it. And so you get 5%. You're going to get 5% at the bank these days? No, but soon about. Well, hopefully. Come back, interest rates. Well, actually, they're stopping now. We'll see. But let's say you get 5%. So... 5% 10 years. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, is this a lump sum, a single payment, a lump sum principal, or is it a series of payments? It's a one-time payment, right? And so we use the table on the top. So flip on over to the future value tables. You don't have yours? No, it's not. You need to do it. Okay, come on. You can, because this is going to be on the exam, so please learn how to do it. And on the exam, people will just say, "Oh, I'm sorry, teach, I spaced," or just leave it blank. You just try something, do something. Because this is your most valuable asset you are giving up to be here. What is your most valuable asset?
Time.
Your time on this dirt. And it ain't that long, folks. Trust me. Okay, so now, which table is the lump sum table? The top one, right? See, lump sum payment, principal payment, right. So you go across the 5% down 10 years, and you will say, see a number. Go across the 5% down 10 years. 1.629. Everybody jumps in, not just Laura. Okay? And that's called the future value multiplier. Now, I don't care if you remember that, but that's what it is. It's got the exponent built into it. The future value multiplier for a single lump sum payment of $10,000 at 5% 10 years. So take the $10,000. Oops, wrong color. Take the $10,000. It's $10,000 and multiply it times 1.629. And what will you get? And some of you can do that in your head. $16,290. It's a just moving a decimal point. And is that enough for a condominium down payment? Yes, sir. Okay, you got the table in front of you?
Yeah.
Go across the top table, go across 5%. Go across 5% and down 10 years. Cool? Cool. Okay, so is that enough for a down payment on a condominium?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, here in the South Bay, there are some places that you can get into. First-time home buyer, good credit, decent job. Yeah, it's you'd like a little more, obviously, but hey. Is that enough for a car?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be an awesome car, but it's enough for a good used car. You can get a very good used car for that much. Cool, okay. Now, number two. Who will read number two? Don't everybody jump at once. Reject. That's Sir Alvaro, right?
Yeah.
Reject from your diagram. I'm sorry, project from your diagram.
Bend over 7 years old. This year he plans to start putting $5,000 per year into the Roth IRA and will continue to do so until age 60, a total of 30 years. At 10% annually, how much will Ben have in his Roth IRA?
So who is this? You know Ben. He used to play roller derby for the Kansas City Bombers. Don't know Ben? Okay. Anyway, he's 30 years old. He's going to put $5,000 away for 30 years. How much is that? 5,000 times 30. How much is he going to put away over 30 years? That's why you got your calculators. Yeah, you got a couple extra zeros in there. Try it again. $150,000. Does that sound like a lot of money? It's not over 30 years. In fact, if you're the typical American, and technology may change this in the next 5, 10 years, if you buy a new car every 4 or 5 years or maybe sooner, you're going to spend a hell of a lot more than $150,000. Especially if you want a big money waster car. I'm sorry, break my wallet. Beautiful Mexican women. BMW, right, BMW. BMW. What does BMW stand for? Break my wallet, right? No. Beautiful Mexican women? No. It stands for Bavarian Motorwerken, which is German for Bavarian Motorworks. Right? Ich wusste das nicht. Ich habe alles mein Deutschsprachen vergessen. I've forgotten all my German. I took German for 4 years. Forgot it all. Okay. Okay. So where are BMWs built? Where are most all the BMWs that people buy in the United States? Where are they built? South Carolina. Yeah. Where are most all the BMWs that are sold in Mexico built? Soon. But now they're built in South Carolina. Where are most all the VWs that are sold in the United States built?
Mexico.
Where are most all, until a few years ago, all the, I'm sorry, stop. Don't listen to me until 4 years ago. Where are most all the Hondas and the Toyotas that are sold in America built?
Here.
Kentucky, Indiana, right, the United States. Until a few years ago, most all the Hondas and the Toyotas that were sold in Mexico were built in the United States. This is what Pinchy Trump doesn't understand. The world is global. And younger folks don't seem to be so upset with this. They don't seem to be so frightened. But older folks, especially folks who live in areas where there's not a whole lot of brown people, they are very upset. They're very scared. What are you going to do? Okay, so now, he is going to put $5,000 a year away. Is that a lot of money?
Depends how much money you
make. Well, yeah, but you know, the thing is, he's already been doing this. He turned 25. There's that magic number. Got a good job, full pay, good credit. And he went down to his Ford dealership and he bought a Ford Exploiter. I'm sorry, Exploder. Explorer! And did they tell him that it's going to cost him $5,000 a year?
No, they just said sign here.
And they told him how much he's going to be paying. What is $5,000 a year if you make monthly payments? Mm-hmm. Hint, hint, hint. How many months in a year?
12.
Unless you're in Ethiopia, they have 13. Yeah, do it. Calculators, come on. That's why we have... It's a little over $400 a month. $416.66 and then a third cent, two-thirds cents. So in other words, he's been already making $400 a month payments. And so instead of plunking down $5,000, he's going to start putting $400 away into a 401k, into a Roth IRA. What's a Roth IRA? It's absolutely awesome, fantastic, fabulous, and we'll discuss it later on in the semester. And don't think you have to do it right now. You have to get through the class, right? But you can put $25 a month away. But so he's already been doing it. And after 5 years, he's turned 30, and now the exploiter is paid off. And he says, okay, no more of that. No more paying Ford Motor Credit Corporation. I'm now going to pay myself first. Are you with me? Understand? So, how well will he do? Is this a lump sum or a series of payments? You with me? This is the hardest part, which table to use. So if it's a series of payments, which it is, per year, per month, whatever. Now, the tables are annual. So there are other tables, but they're a lot bigger for monthly payments. But so this is a series. So which table do we use? The bottom one. Go across to 10% down 30 years, and what is the future value multiplier? 164.494. Did everybody see that? Just go like this if you didn't see. You don't have to say anything. Cool. Help. Okay. Take the $5,000 per year and multiply it times 164.494. And what is that number? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, Daniela, come on, get your calculator. Oh, trying to remember people's names again. Don't tell me. Anthony, I knew that. Anthony says 822.470. So, yippee! 150 grand becomes 822,000. That's the future value of $5,000 per year at 10% for 30 years. Are you with me? Not bad, right? Pretty darn good. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Yes, sir.
Does it take into account inflation in 30 years?
No, that's a good question. That's a good question. Will $822,470 be worth the same amount it is worth today in 30 years? So people might say, well, why bother?
It's better than not having.
Yeah, I want you to ask your grandparents, your parents, Grandma, would you rather have $822,470 now or not have it now?
Because it's supposed to be like 2% per year, right?
Isn't inflation? Well, it depends. Lately, it's been about 2% a year.
Okay.
But over the long term, it's been about 3%. And that takes into account the time in the late 70s when it went up to about 8%, 9%, which was serious in the United States. That's serious for us. Yes?
That money in that Bahrain, it's not...
Oh, Laura, you should be teaching the class. Did you hear what she said? Roth IRAs, if you do everything you're supposed to do, Domini Domini Sanctus, and the IRS blesses and kisses you, that is not taxable. Isn't that cool?
From your initial paycheck?
Well, the money you put in is after tax.
Okay.
We'll make the distinction between after tax and pre-tax. Pre-tax is before taxes. After tax is after taxes. And you put that into a Roth. Yeah. See how erudite I am? You like that word? I mean smart. Erudite. I'm eruditer than you. And if you put the money into a Roth IRA, you've already been taxed on it. They're not going to tax you again, right? But all the earnings that you made, all the compound interest, is also tax-free. So Roth IRAs are very cool. And as a stockbroker, I'm not allowed to tell you, say that everyone should have a Roth IRA. But you know what? Everyone should have a Roth IRA. We're not allowed to generalize
it.
Yeah, the educational savings accounts, the 529 plans, they're not usually very useful for folks in the South Bay. They're usually very useful for very wealthy people. Here's a typical scenario. Somebody here will come and ask me, what about a savings account for my son or my daughter? They're 2 years old. I say, are you funding your Roth IRA first? And the maximum is $6,000 now per year. And they go, no. I said, put the money there. Because unless they got a lot of money, a 529 plan is, it reminds me of the airplane, when you get in the airplane, when the mask falls down, what do? You put it on first, and then you worry about your kid. Because if you start fussing with your kid, you're going to pass out before you put it on your kid's face. Get it on your face faster. Okay, number... Did I answer your question? I hope so. Yes, Alvaro. It depends on what you invest in. It depends on... And we're going to look at different types of investments for different people. Yes.
So... they don't tax you again when you take it out?
Nope.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Everyone should have a Roth IRA.
Yeah, that's good. Because I was going to say, because if you take out a certain savings account, they count that as additional income.
Well, any interest you earn is normally taxed. Okay. Where it might be taxed in the year you earn it, and that's called taxable regular account. Or it may be taxed when you take it out. That's called a tax-qualified account, of which 401k, traditional IRAs, simple IRAs, all these other employer-sponsored plans, they usually work that. It's pre-tax. You get a tax break when you put the money in. And then when you take it out in retirement, you'd be taxed. But that makes sense, folks, because in retirement, you're usually in a lower tax bracket. If you're in a higher tax bracket, congratulations. Yeah, you got a lot of money. I don't feel too bad for you, understand? But the Roth IRA and the various other Roth incarnations, you put the money in now, you get taxed on that money now. You don't get a tax break now. But later on down the line, assuming you do, domini, what the IRS tells you to do, it's all tax-free. That is cool. That is a golden opportunity. Well, it's different. She said it's better than investing in property. Real estate is a whole other world to itself, and it's got its advantages and its disadvantages. But real estate, there's ways that you can defer the taxes by buying other properties and doing what's called a 1031 exchange. You just pick up this property and you move it to the other property, and then you don't have to pay the taxes. And then if you plan on keeping the property for income forever, and then you die, it goes to your heirs. At that, they don't get taxed. All that capital gains, the heirs don't get taxed. It's called a step-up allowance. So real estate is cool. Don't get me wrong, but it's not for everyone. It's tricky. I like to use the word tricky. It's tricky. I like to use the word tricky, which is another way of saying it's a pita. And the folks in the early class learned what pita means. What does pita mean?
Pain in the head.
Pain in the... Especially when you have real renters that you want to squeeze their necks until their eyes pop out. Not legal. Your lawyer will tell you not to do it. But it would feel so good. Okay, number three. Number three. Who will read number three? Don't everybody jump at once. How about it, sir? Your name again is?
Eric.
Eric, would you read number three loudly?
Making plan is saving $5,000 for 30 years while Elaine is only saving $5,000 for 10 years. Ben is sure that he will have much more money than Elaine. Is he right?
So who is this?
Eileen.
Eileen Forward. That's Ben's cousin. Bend over. Eileen Forward. They don't get better, okay? You understand? So get used to it. They don't get any better. Anyway, she is 20 years old. And she's going to put that same $400 a month, $5,000 a year away, but she's only going to do it for 10 years. Now, wait a minute. Is it reasonable for somebody 20 years old to be putting $400 a month away?
Yes.
Laura says yes. Yes?
Yeah.
Well, if you're in college, unless you got a pretty darn good salary, no, most college-level students are not going to do it. But how many folks in the military at age 20, age 18, age 19? And I can't tell you how many students have come up to me who are either still in the military or left the military and I pissed it all away. And I bought a Camaro, went partying like crazy. Because what's the most socialist entity in the United States? The military. You get a housing allowance, you get free military, socialists.
Education.
Don't say that. They get very upset because they hate socialism, even though they're part of a very... Anyway, so spreading strife is my greatest joy. So. Don't worry, we'll insult everybody by the end of the semester. We'll equal opportunity, Hayden. Okay, so how much did she put away? 5,000 times 10 years. 50 grand. Okay. And so obviously she's going to have less than Ben, right? Now, here's the tricky part. From age 20 to age 30, is this a lump sum or a series of investments? It's a series, you see? Every year she's putting $5,000 away, $400 a month. So which table do we use? Everyone say the bottom. We'll ask you. Which table do we use?
Wait, it doesn't say that it's monthly, though. It just says she puts in $5,000 a year.
Well, she probably does it monthly. You're right. But if she had the $5,000, we're assuming. Because that's the easier way to think about it. Because most people don't have $5,000 lying around the house. But the tables are annual. The monthly tables are a whole lot bigger. You have to print out several pages. So what are we doing? Okay, so which table do we use? Go across to 10%, down 10 years. Come on, Daniela, go across to 10%, down 10 years. I like when people say, I'm not going to learn it. No way, you can't make me learn it. No, I can't make you learn it, but why are you here if you're not going to learn it? Mauricio says 15.937. Make sure you get that. You can't ask Mauricio on the exam. Hey, Mauricio, what's the future about multiplier? Okay, does everybody see that? Nod your heads yes?
Yeah.
Or go, no, Frank, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, multiply the $5,000 times 15.937. And what will she have at age 30? And your name again is? Kiana says 79,635? 685. 80 grand! At age 30, what can she do with that $80,000? I'm sorry? She's going to continue to save it, but she could buy a really nice house, couldn't she? Right? She could go around the world two or three times. Buy a rental property. Right. No, she lets it stay. She lets it stay in that same investment, gaining 10% for 30 years. So now, is this a series? Is she making multiple payments? Or is this a lump sum? You see how it turned into a lump sum? So 79,685, 30 years at 10%. Which table do we use? Everyone should say? People in the cheap seats, what table do we use?
Top.
Go across to 10%, down 30 years. And what's the future value multiplier?
Why 30 years if she already spent 10 years doing the series?
Well, she's from ages 20 to 30, she put away the money. And now ages 30 to 60, she says, that's okay, I don't want to put any more money away. I'm just going to leave it set. She goes off to Tibet to find her perfect master and leaves the money laying there. So what's the future value multiplier?
17.449?
949. 449. 17.449. Multiply the $79,685 times 17.449. And?
Damn.
That's a big number. Not quite. You got an extra zero in there. Somebody in the cheap seats? How about it there? Is it Tara?
Yeah.
Did you do it? That's okay. Oh, my goodness. 1,390,000. And don't forget the 56 cents. Whoa, wait a minute. How did she wind up with 1.4 million? What did she have more of that Ben didn't have?
Time.
You see the benefit of time? Whee up in the air. Now, again, is it reasonable for somebody this young to have this kind of motivation to put this much money away? Well, I'm here to tell you, dear students, that one of your cohorts from the South Bay, one of the basic brown types, at age 14, and that's what one guy, he's dead, thankfully, but he taught here for many years. This was a long time. I started here a long time ago. And he said, well, you know, your basic brown types, they just can't hack it. And I just wanted to, I was just new. This guy was older. Why are you here? Why are you teaching here? But it turned out that he was here before the brown invasion, when Southwestern was very, very white. And so he was lamenting that. But he smoked cigarettes, he's gone. And we won't name names, Joe Leonard. Okay. At age 14, this young man was separated from his four siblings in foster care, two brothers and two sisters. At age 14, he made a goal for himself that he was going to buy a home someday so that he and his four siblings could live together. At age 24, he had enough money to put a down payment on a house in Nestor. You know where Nestor is? You know it's like east of Imperial Beach, right? Not Imperial Beach, it's on the way to Imperial Beach. Where the drive-in theater is by Coronado, that's nothing. And if you don't believe me, go on the website. Whoa! Go on the website. Where's the website? My website. And go down, and where the hell is it? It's in the San Diego Useless Tribune. Here it is. A goal-setting lesson from Nestor. 40-year-old creates a goal, accomplishes it 10 years later. And the three brothers now live together. The two sisters, oh, I'm sorry. That was real useful, wasn't it? The three brothers lived together. The two sisters got married. They have their own families, and nobody does the dishes. Guys, right, guys. And then there's another, so check it out. There's another, go away. And there's another one, an update where once this got in the news, right, Home Depot and all these other places started giving them stuff to fix up the house. And it's a very, very heartwarming, but at the same time, it's also very cool because it shows that you too can do it. You can set a goal for yourself and make it reality. And that's why we're here. I hope. Okay, now, Bill, $400 a month, $5,000 a year, that's a lot of money for most people. I'm sorry, Alvaro.
Yeah, is getting 10% reasonable for
them? Very good question. Hang on to that question. Hang on, let's finish up this last one, and then we'll come back to that. Because we're ready for the money. We're getting there. Don't worry, Albert. You don't think I would set you up just to pull the rug out from under you, would you? Sometimes I will. But not this time. Okay. Number four. Who would read number four? More realistic goal. More realistic amount of money. How about it there? Mr. Your name again? Guillermo Mata. Mr. Guillermo, would you read number four loudly?
Kneel down. 15 years old, he's already $5 He stops by a mail at least once a day, sometimes twice, claiming that his name are trying to get him to give up his habit and place the money into the Roth IRA. If he puts just 2 per day, 50 per month into the same Roth IRA, earning 10%, how much will he have at age 68? What if he saves 5 per day,
Okay, so who is this?
Kneel down.
Kneel down. Of course, we have bend over, I lean forward and kneel down. Okay, and so he's a $5 addict. Do you have any $5 addicts in your circle of friends?
So many.
So many. Do they buy the $2 regular coffee or they get the $5 Crappuccino with the 30-weight oil?
I don't know, the poisonous one.
The poisonous one, that's the $5. I think it's now $6, right?
With sugar.
With sugar and cream. And.
Well, they're going to outlive as long.
We don't know that. Okay. Statistically, you're right. We don't know that. So, which one? The $2 or the $5? $5, right? So it's like $5, right? Now, remember, these tables are annual. So here's the curve. Here's the curveball. How much is it? $5 a day, $150 per month, per year? Remember, how many months in a year? Unless you're in Ethiopia, they have 13. So how much is he spending on coffee every year? That's this one. This one's $7.20 if he gets the $2 one, which nobody gets the $2 one. How much is he spending for the $5 one? $1,800 a year. Now, when you walk in on January 1st in Starbucks, they say, I'll be $1,800 for the year. Do they ask you to spend $1,800 the whole year? That's why they charge you on the cup. Do you think the folks at Starbucks and at Nike and at Ford Motor Credit Corporation at Target, do you think they've taken Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management?
No.
Oh, yeah. And they've taken a whole lot more about marketing and financial, making tons of money and how to separate people from their money. And $5 are geniuses in getting people to spend that much money. So let's think. $1,800 per year over 50 years is how much money? Again, your name again? Luis, right? Luis, $90,000 on coffee. It's a drug, folks. People got to have it. So, is this a lump sum or a series of investments? By now, you should be getting a good feeling. This is the trickiest part of these questions. That's the trickiest part. Using the right table. Go to the bottom table, the series. Go across 10%, down 50 years. And what's the future value multiplier? 1,163.909 times $1,800 per year.
I don't think I did the math right.
2,095,036.20. Do I have your attention? Yeah? I hope so. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments, criticisms, suggestions? You already asked one of the good questions, and that was, what's $2 million going to be worth in 50 years? Again, ask your grandparents, would you rather have $2 million now, or how would you have now? Which is nothing. And then let's get back to Alvaro's question. Where are we going to get 10%? Is that a good question? Are you going to get it at the bank? They'll kind of chuckle at you. What they will do is they'll take you over to another part of the bank that says, or credit union, that says investments. And there may or may not be somebody sitting there with a three-piece suit looking bored. And that person will show you investments similar to the ones I'm going to show you right now. So let's get this guy back down. And hope for your future. Dear students, here are investments that have been around, all of them, for more than 50 years. And every single one of them has done better than 10%. 1967, 11.3. 1950, 11.47. 1965, 10.35. 1967, 12, 11, 11.5, 10. Where is it? 0.44. Here. 1934, 1934, 85 years. 10 and a half, 10 and a half, 11 and a half, almost 13. Run Mr. Neal down again at 13%, and that 2 million becomes, take a guess, 6 million. 10, 11 and a half, 10, 11, 11.69. As lucky members of the great American economic machine, you have at your disposal investments that have been around for over 50 years and have done better than 10%. Now, am I telling you to go out and invest in these? The reality is no. Why? Because as a first-time investor, I would not recommend any of these. It depends. It depends on you. But these are mostly all United States-based, except for the one, the Templeton Growth Fund. Now, when somebody comes to me and they're young, I normally recommend an investment that's similar to this, but that's globally based. All right? And that doesn't mean you shouldn't stick with the United States. The United States is a phenomenal place to invest, but the world is global. And the best companies may not be based in the United States. What is the best, if not one of the best, cement companies in the world? Do you know? Cemex! Cementos de Mexico! Where is it based?
Mexico.
Monterrey! Which is kind of like Mexico's Phoenix. Ever been to Monterrey? Don't go in the summer. It's like going to Phoenix in the summer. But it's a very prosperous city. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Is this cool or what? Do we have your attention? Now, the best part. You're going to go home tonight. And your parents or your folks or your aunt or whatever, they're going to say,
what did you learn in school today?
Right? And you're going to show them this. And they're going to say, why didn't they teach us this when we were in high school and college? Why didn't they teach us this 30 years ago? Right? Because they haven't been investing in the Investment Company of America or American Mutual Fund or T. Rowe Price New Horizons Fund. No, I know they haven't, right? Maybe a few of them have. And so you don't have an excuse now. No. You've heard the good news. 30 years from now, when your kids come home and you say, what did you learn in school today? And they show you something like this. Are you going to be able to have that excuse?
Didn't they teach us that 30 years ago?
No, you learned. Now, my family should go run out and invest right now. No. Stick with us. First, we need to build our credit. Build our cash flow. Learn where we can, what kind of monies we can throw which way. And some of you just, I don't know, maybe $25 a month away. But how much is your cell phone payment? That's when people say, well, I don't have any money to invest. How much is your cell phone payment? You go, it's supposed to be 40, but it winds up being 80. I download a lot of porn. Oh, ringtones. I download a lot of ringtones. Okay? Cool. Well, now, we're a little bit ahead. I will now, Investment Club. Right after this, at 12 noon, in next room over, we have our Investment Club. And it's mostly for people who want to learn about investments. We will learn about investments. We'll come back to these later on in the semester because we still have to do... I often agonize whether we should go right into investments at the beginning of the semester, but really it makes more sense for us to learn all the basics, cash flow, credit, insurance. The problem is we're going to lose several of you. So if you have to drop for whatever reason, you need another class, a job, or whatever, remember, what's the website? Everyone should say Wonder Professor. Wait till I ask you. What's the website? So it's all there. Now, I'm going to review. Some of you were here. Some of you weren't. This weekend, what's going on in this weekend? The Stupid Bowl, right. And there's a... opportunity for 2 extra credit points. It's page number, which number? 8, 9? Here it is. Which page is it? It's one of the pages in there, 8 or 9. 11, I'm sorry, 11. Whoops, Didn't I click on it? Come on. Hello? It's not working. See this? In the infernal net. Ugh, it's not working. But get an application. Here it comes. Get an app for your smell phone, stopwatch app, or get a not stopwatch. Every time the ball is kicked or snapped, start the stopwatch. As soon as they're down, they run out of bounds, they pass incomplete, stop the stopwatch. And how much time will you spend actually watching them play? That's 2 points. Cool? Make it into a game. Ask your friends and family and in between popcorn and beer. You sorry?
No. Did you? Oh, no, we're just talking about how sadly we can't do it because we both work around that time.
Oh, you're lucky. You're missing a ridiculous cultural sickness with the taking the knee and the, you know, it's just so overtly racist. But hey, people love it. Yeah.
How do we turn it into?
Yeah, you can just put it on a separate piece of paper or rip it out or whatever. It's up to you. Okay, now, 5 minutes. No, I feel guilty. You know, you're not getting your full hour and 25 minutes. Do you feel that you're being ripped off? You sure? No one's going to complain? I'll let you go 5 minutes early. If you want to stick around, please do. We'll tell bad jokes. Otherwise, on Tuesday, we'll finish up chapter one. We'll learn about the financial aspects of career planning and learn what is your most important financial decision and the most important documents that you will ever create. Hang on to these. Bring them back. We'll be using them throughout the semester. Hang on to them. They're yours. Hang on to them. See you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Your name again is?
Sarah.
Good to meet you, Sarah. Yes.
I left mine. No.
Hang on to them.
Car.
Oh, you have it. Oh, okay. Okay, Mauricio, do you have an extra set? No, hang on to this. Oh, we'll use them. So, Daniela, how bad was it? The drugs were really bad? No, good. Glad to hear it. You've heard? Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Okay, anybody want to add to class? Anybody need an add code?